Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie. Timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now back to reality. Unbelievably, Google is celebrating its 25th birthday this month, and I suppose it's kind of hard to imagine life without it now, but it wasn't there 25 years ago. Freelance journalist and author of The Social Capital, Aoife Barry, joins me on the line now. Hi, Aoife.
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Listen, what was life like before Google? Was there even other search engines before that?
Yeah, it's actually really funny to think about it, isn't it? Because Google is a verb and basically has been used as a verb since the early 2000s. So it's hard to imagine a world without it. And I mean, when you think about the internet before Google emerged 25 years ago, you know, this was at a time when search engines, kind of the early version of something like a search engine, was first of all to look for the users who were actually online, because there wasn't that many people who were actually users of the internet in the early days. And then to kind of look through the content files really that were on the internet. But the internet was really, really small. It wasn't what we have now. There wasn't as much information on there. And then also people as well, when they were looking for information generally, you know, the way now, if you wanted to look up something, instead of going to an encyclopedia, you go to Wikipedia, or you'd go just Google something to find out the info. Whereas before, we obviously were going to the more kind of solid, you know, kind of books and things like that, or talking to people in libraries, talking to library staff, etc., who still have a huge amount of information at their fingertips now. But Google was basically there. You know, the reason why Google became the phenomenon that it is because the founders of Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, realized there's got to be a better way of cataloging the information that is on the internet and giving it back to people in a search engine. So they created an algorithm, kind of called PageRank, partly after Larry Page's name, that basically kind of used an algorithm to decide which of the links that were on the internet were the best ones to feed back to people, so that you didn't have to go through pages and pages of results. That when you looked at the front page or the first page of your Google search result, you knew that it was going to be quality. Now, over time, there's much more information online, so I think it's a little different to what it was back then, but that's why Google in part really took off, because it was just a high quality product.
And has there ever been a viable competitor in the 25 years? Like, they have maintained a ferocious hold on search, haven't they?
It's about like 97, maybe 95, 96% of the hold of search engine hold over the internet that they have, that like literally over 90% of that market is what Google has. And I think the closest to them is Bing, Microsoft's Bing, which has 3%. Whoa. So they own the world of search engine. It, you know, there have been different people who've tried to do different things like Bing's, you know, Microsoft Bing, but Google has had that massive hold because I think partly the marketable idea of Googling things, but also it's been a really clever company. It's constantly iterated, constantly bringing out new products as well too.
So is it too powerful? Like, if one company is the main gatekeeper for all the information in the world?
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? Because I think the thing with a company like, and a lot of the big tech companies, you know, like Meta, like Google, etc., they right now they have a huge amount of power, and that power has grown over the last 15, 20 years or so. And because a lot of these products that we're getting from these companies like Google are free, we don't feel like we're actually having any sort of transaction with them. Mm-hmm. We don't feel like we're giving anything. We feel like we're just getting all of this info. But actually nothing on the internet is free, and we are giving them information. We're typing in things that we want and we desire and we want to know into their search engine, and that's providing them with information that obviously advertisers can then use to sell ads back at us. We are being presented with ads every time we go on to Google as well too. And there are, you know, there've long been questions over this idea of whether or not these companies have a monopoly. I mean, this week coming up in the US is going to be a trial where the US Department of Justice is going to be looking at whether Google basically has too much power and whether it's been using that power to throttle its competition or not. You know,
yeah,
if you look
but the
at
truth is we don't care because it's convenient. It's kind of the reality for most of us.
Yeah, well,
you mentioned like, Aoife, you mentioned the iterations and that they've continued evolving. Now, they have had very high-profile failures in their time as well. Just to remind us of a few of the things that didn't quite take off for them.
Yeah, so for every, you know, Google Maps and Gmail, you have a fail from Google as well. So people might remember things like Google Hangouts, Google Plus, Google Buzz. So the three of those... So these basically, they're all their attempts at getting into the social media space.
Okay.
So it was Google Hangouts. It was kind of like Google Chat. You could chat to your friends, hang out with them online. It was an attempt to get people to gather together as Google users. That didn't work out. Google Plus was another version of its social media attempt that only lasted to 2019. Google Buzz, they saw what Twitter were doing and they thought, hang on, we want to do this too. That also failed. And then you have things like Google Wave, where they were kind of ahead of their time in a way. If you think of something like Slack, which gathers people together on an app or on desktop to, you know, collaborate in documents, to message each other, to basically you can kind of run a whole company on Slack. Google Wave is kind of an early version of that in a way, where people could collaborate and work together. But that didn't work out very well either. They did things like they didn't roll out the invites of it quickly enough, really, and people got a bit frustrated. And then you have Google Glass, which again is a little bit like being ahead of time, where they have glasses that you can basically, like, technologically advanced glasses, and Meta are trying to do the same thing obviously with that too, but those didn't take off. And Google Glass are really ugly as well, so I think that probably
and creepy, I think everyone agreed.
Yes, so
Ireland has a kind of a special weird relationship with Google, in that they were the start of the whole of you know, Silicon Docks and Ireland being a big tech hub, weren't they?
Yeah, and if you look at the story of this, it's so interesting because it could have been Switzerland. Like, Google were looking at Ireland, but they're also looking at a small part of Switzerland where they were potentially going to set up not just themselves, but a few other tech companies too. And they were brought on a tour by the IDA of Dublin and shown around the Docklands area in about 2002. And that was an area when, I mean, if you think of the Docklands now, of what was then later crowned Silicon Docks, thanks to people like Google, etc., it was an area that really needed development. There were empty offices there that needed to be used. It was a space that needed to be worked with in Dublin. Even though they did show, when they brought them on that tour of Dublin, they showed them, for example, the digital hub at the time and said, look, you could base yourselves here. They really liked the idea of setting up in the Docklands, and they set up their European HQ on Barrow Street. And that really just kicked off this huge period of regeneration. And basically, I see Google as a magnet. Like, they just pulled all the other tech companies to move here. And Ireland, of course, and the Irish government want to make it a very happy place for these tech companies to be based, which is why you've seen such a lot of them coming over, and it's led to that title, Silicon Docks, and they have really rejuvenated it. I mean, people, obviously there are a lot of criticism over various elements of that. I go through that in my book as well, but there's also been a lot of positives too, and a lot of employment. So it's a really interesting, a complicated story, I think, there.
And you deal with it in your book, The Social Capital. Just briefly, and before we finish up, Google has been quite cautious on AI, Aoife, but is AI, ChatGPT and all that, is that, that's going to take over from Google at some stage, is it?
See, that's the big thing for them now, because if you look at someone like Bing, Microsoft's Bing, they basically have a stake in OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT. And ChatGPT, when it serves up its answers, when you ask it a question, it's actually a lot calmer than what Google looks like
now. Calm is the word, yeah. It just clicks out a really fluent answer.
It really does. And I think even though Bing hasn't up to now been, even though it's a rival, it hasn't been a really big rival, because Microsoft and Bing got ahead of the ground there on Google with this particular type of generative AI answers. And because Google now looks a lot messier and has a lot of ads in it compared to what it was back in the day, I think this actually is a big issue for them going forward. Now, they have been investing in AI for years. I mean, they bought into DeepMind, which is a UK AI company, in 2014. So they have been ahead of the game in the background. They just were not quick enough out the traps. So this is the big thing for them. And in the kind of letter that the CEO Sundar Pichai wrote the other day about the 25th anniversary, he specifically mentioned AI and how they are really working on AI and trying to keep kind of safe and transparent AI when they're working in the future. So I think they're as aware of that issue as we are ourselves too, as
okay.
users of Google products.
Aoife Barry, author of The Social Capital. We'll check in again in 25 years. Thanks a million.